Thank you, Rachel. And Titsy for that. Good morning. Welcome to the Arroyo Grande Seventh Adventist Church. If you're here for the first time, I see quite a few visitors today. We're going to have a message like we do every week, and we're also going to partake of communion. And we do open communion here. I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. Two things I want to bring up. I'm going to bring Ed up in just a moment here. But I was just told by Kayla Graybill that her husband Luke is very, very sick again. And she just a few minutes ago just told me this. And she asked, could you pray? And you know, I believe that we're a praying church. And so what I want to do is I want all of us to pray. And then I want to pray too. So I'm going to give you about a minute just to pray for Luke. If you don't even know him, God knows him. And God can send his angels right now to do some amazing things. And God says, if we have a need, he says, ask. And as a family, we want to embrace Kayla and Luke and pray for them and support them through this. So let's just spend a moment now just in prayer, and then I will close in about a minute. So just silently, if you'd pray for Luke. Father God, we sit in silence, but there's more than 100 prayers going up right now for Luke. And Father, you know the condition of his body and the problems with his blood cells. And Father, we don't. But we know we can call on you when there's a need. And we know that you answer our prayers. And so, Father, we just ask you to send your Spirit to put your healing hands on Luke. Anoint him, Father, and make him well again, both spiritually and physically, Father. You know, there's a double blessing when we come to you, that we ask for healing, and that healing takes place spiritually and physically, and that is a beautiful thing. And so, Father, I also want to uplift Kayla, to give her strength and give her comfort in trying and hard times, discouraging times, frustrating times, with a lot of unanswered questions. But I pray that she can continue to lean on you, and you will give her what she needs. Your strength, your peace, your comfort. Father, give us the ability to support as well, wherever we need to. And Father, I pray that in this situation, you can be glorified, that your presence will be seen, and people's faith would be increased because of your action in Luke's life. Father, we thank you once again for being a God who wants to be intimate with us, a God who's real with us, and a God who loves us so very much. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to invite Ed up here. Pastor Ed or Pastor Urbina. I don't know what they... Ed, okay. They go by there. So it's great to have you here.
I'm delighted to be here. I mean, you know, this is our 35th Life Hope Center
35th
program.
One. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you've been doing it a little bit?
We're doing one about every other week.
Oh, and wow.
So we are currently booking into 2021. And so what excites me about Life Hope Centers is that it takes us back to our primitive roots. We're a movement.
Yeah.
We're not an institution. God has called us to reveal the character of the Father. And so when we have this movement occurring and our members are getting excited about implementing their God-given talents, I mean, it's exciting. It's really exciting.
Very good. So when you say members can use their God-given talents. I mean, we've got quite a few dentists here and doctors and nurses, and Life Hope Center kind of caters around that. But what about the rest of us who aren't in the medical field? I mean, is there a chance to use our God-given talents through these events as well?
Absolutely. There is something for everyone to do. And let me clarify this point. You know, while we're here, Life Hope Centers is a unique ministry, medical ministry. However, the big question and the challenge for us is that what happens next week? And what we want to understand is that each of us has a particular gift, a God-given gift, that gives us the opportunity to use week after week. Mm-hmm. And so in answer to your question, Joshua, yes, there's something for everyone. And every contribution, every talent implemented contributes to completing the picture of who Jesus is.
Amen. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So any words of advice for us as we get ready to undertake our first Life Hope event here on the Hill in Rio Grande that you would give? You've done 35 now, and then you've done the bigger ones, I'm sure, as well.
Right.
But what would you say for us today who are sitting here, who are getting ready to volunteer, or maybe thinking about coming and helping tomorrow too? What would you say?
You know, the first thing I would say is pray.
Pray.
You know, our mission is Christ's method. And Christ's method alone is what brings true success in reaching people.
Mm.
Jesus mingled with those as one who desired their good. He sympathized with people. You don't sympathize with, you know, and this is the science of Jesus is a master psychiatrist.
Amen.
Because he understands, and because he created us, but he understands how we work. And so he mingled among people as one who desired that good. That what communicates to me intentionality. You know, we can mingle among people aimlessly, just as we would in a shopping mall. We're walking through there and people passing by. But that's not what Jesus did. He mingled with a purpose, an express purpose to seek people. And so this raises a question for me and a question that I want to share with you. What is your identity? Why do you live? And so Jesus lived to honor the Father. Our nature is to live to honor ourselves. And so that's why I say it's going to take prayer, because we can go about doing good for our own gratification, to appease our conscience, to make ourselves feel good. Jesus did good to honor the Father.
Amen.
And
Amen.
So that only comes when we put ourselves on our knees and said, Lord, I'm your instrument. Reveal to others your character through me. And so tomorrow is an opportunity for us to experience the magnificent economy of Jesus, so that as you serve others, you yourself are being blessed.
Amen.
And so it's a lot of fun. I've seen people. I had one dear brother who had approached me. I don't mean to take much time. You know, he wasn't skilled, but you know, he came out and helped me setting up on one of our programs, and he said, "Ed, I need to confess something to you." I said, "Really? What's up?" And as you know, all my life I was raised a Seventh-day Adventist, and I was always made to feel guilty because I did not like, and I still don't enjoy going knocking door to door. I don't feel comfortable passing out literature. But I've come to realize that when I'm helping assembling the clinic that we have with Life Hope Centers, my heart is overjoyed. I love doing this. I said, brother, that's your God-given gift. And glorify the Father in what you're doing. And so that's the challenge, and that's my prayer for all of us, is that as we find our niche, that we will have so much fun that we will want to continue doing this.
Amen.
And so this is a church that was not placed here arbitrarily, wasn't placed here by coincidence. This church has a purpose in reaching out to the surrounding community here and revealing the character of the Father.
Amen.
So tomorrow is just going to be a taste of that.
Good.
All right.
Well, thanks, Ed. Would you mind having a prayer
for absolutely. Our event
as we go into it?
Sure. Father, again, we're so grateful for your faithfulness in providing us the opportunity for us to understand why we were created and the joy that we can have in using that creative gift and talent to show others how much you care. Lord, this world, this community doesn't need to know how much we know. They want to know how much we care. Mm. And that true attitude of caring will only come when your Holy Spirit is working through us. Mm. So, Lord, I pray that you continue to keep us moving forward on our knees as we desire to serve others. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Ed. For those of you that, and I'm sorry I didn't mention it earlier, for those of you that maybe are visitors here for the first time, and you've been listening to us go on for the last 10 minutes about the Life Hope Center, and you're probably thinking, well, what is he talking about? There might be one or two or maybe more in here. What it is Life Hope Center is an event that the church puts on where we offer free medical, free optometry, free health screenings, and there will also be at ours massage and haircuts as well. I said dental. Oh, I didn't. I said medical. Dental. Yes. Free. How much was that? Free. With no expectation. Just we want to serve. And so it's a thing that has caught fire across Central California and other parts of the country as well. And we're very proud and humbled to be able to offer services to people that otherwise aren't able to access it. So that's kind of what we're doing. So, and that starts tomorrow at 8 o'clock. See, I've been paying attention. Okay. So, you know, for the last several weeks, I've been talking about invitations that Jesus gave, right? 2 weeks ago, Jesus was on the bank of the Jordan River, and two disciples came up to him and they said, "Hey, you're Jesus, right?" And his response back to them was, it was in Greek though, I'm speaking in English, was, what do you want? And they wanted to know where he was going. And then he said, "Come with me." And they spent the afternoon with him. And that was a interesting and beautiful time, I'm sure. You know, the last week, I went to the book of Matthew, and we looked at Jesus walking on the seashore. Remember that? And there were the boat, and then the next boat down the way with the two guys in each boat. And what was Jesus' words to those men? "Follow me." And you know, by Jesus saying that, Jesus was signifying, "I believe you can do greater things than I can do. I'm going to teach you what I know so that you can go out and multiply and do the same thing." That's pretty amazing. Because the reality is Jesus asks us the same thing. He says, "Follow me." Amen? You know, if you go further into the Gospels, we're going to read it this morning in the book of Matthew. Jesus is there and he actually asks his disciples to deny themselves. So he adds this pretty big component to following him, because all the other invitations have just been, "Hey, come after me. Hey, I'm going to teach you. Hey, this is what you need to look at." But in this one situation in Matthew, which we're going to read in just a moment, Jesus actually says, "Deny yourself and follow me." Now, we Americans have a bit of a problem with this, don't we? We Christian Americans have a problem because we live in a day of, I'm going to say it, casual Christianity. Casual Christianity. You know, I heard somebody recently say that if a third of the members across Central California were to be wiped off the books, nobody would notice. The members who are wiped off and the members who are here. Mercy. Mercy. Casual Christians are those who want to be numbered among the flock, but could care less about following the shepherd. They want the forgiveness the cross of Christ brings, but they never intend to carry their own cross. They want the warm, fuzzy moments on Sabbath morning, but they offer no commitment to Jesus on Monday morning. Casual Christianity. In short, they want the crown without the cross. The crown without the cross. And here's what Jesus said. Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Is self-denial hard? Three people think so. Is self-denial hard? Absolutely. I think it's the hardest thing in the world. Lose yourself to save yourself. Seems opposite of what we want and teach in America. And if you gain everything, you go after all those things, you can actually forfeit and lose your soul. Money, wealth, knowledge. What else is there to go after? What? Addictions. All those things we strive and chase for because in them we think we're going to find contentment. In them we think we're going to look good to somebody. Maybe ourselves. But Jesus says, hey, you need to deny yourselves and follow after me. You know, denying yourself and your tendencies can be difficult, but I love that we can go to the Word of God and find promises that ring true. In 1 Peter 5:7, it says, "Cast all of your anxiety on him because he cares for you." You're anxious, you're nervous to give something to God. He says, "Give it to me, and I'm going to take care of you." You know, I was sitting last night with Lacey, my wife, and I said, I was writing, and I said, "Hey, what are some ways that Jesus lived out his life and showed that he lived a life of denial for himself?" And I said, you know, because I'm thinking that he denied himself, you know, with food, and he denied himself with friends, and even where he lived sometimes. And Lacey goes, she kind of looks at me. She goes, "You dummy." She goes, "What do you think he denied himself just in those things?" And I go, "Well, I don't know. I'm asking you." She says, he denied his whole life was a life of denial for you and me. His whole life, 33 years, was a life of denial. He gave it all up for you and me. And so he asks us to do the same thing. He says, deny yourselves. And we as Americans, oh, we think we have rights, right? We think we have rights. We deserve it, right? Get that retirement check. Get that whatever it is. You know, I remember years ago when Aurora was a baby and I had to take care of her at night because Lacey went off to work. And little Aurora, the little screamer, right? She's in the room. Some of you can relate to this. And she's crying. And I have to go to work the next morning. Lacey's coming home to sleep the next morning. She had a night shift. And I'm rocking Aurora, and it's like 3 a.m. or something. And I'm rocking her, and I'm like, this isn't fair. She doesn't have the right to cry because I need to go to work. See, we think we're entitled to so much. We really do. But we're not. We're not. Jesus showed self-denial his entire life. And I love what Philippians 2 says. Listen to this. It says, "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one of mind. You know, did Jesus live a life of self-denial? Absolutely. And he calls us to do the same thing. And that might look a little different for me than it might look for Russ or for Tony or for Greg or for Ben. But he calls us to do that. Going on, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Should I read that again? Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking at your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. That's what this Hope Clinic is really all about. Is looking at others and say, you know, you're more important than me. And I want to show you that by not only, you know, fixing your teeth and helping you to see better, but having a genuine interest in who you are as a person and loving you no matter what, no matter who you are. Going on in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in the appearance as a man. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Amen. We serve a God who loves us so much. He loves us so much. What does this all mean in a practical sense? We've read scripture. We've talked about some things. What does it mean in a practical sense? I have a quote from a book by Greg Gianni called Gaining by Losing. And here's what it means in a practical sense. Are you ready for this? Are you sure? Okay. Here we go. Someone has said it this way. If when you are good, evil is spoken. And when your wishes are crossed and your advice is disregarded and your opinions are ridiculed and you refuse to let anger rise in your heart and even defend yourself, but you take it patiently in loving silence, then you are denying to self. And when you lovingly and patiently bear any disgrace, any irregularity, any annoyance, when you're face to face with extravagance and folly and spiritual insensitivity and endure it as Jesus did, that is denying to self. And when you are content with any food, any money, any clothing, any society, any solitude or interruption by the will of God, that is denial to self. And when you never care to refer to yourself in conversation or record your own good works or itch after commendation from others, and when you truly love to be unknown, that is dying to self. When you see your brother prosper, you see his needs wondrously met and can honestly rejoice with him because of his big house or big car or big pool or whatever it may be without feeling envy and never question God, though your needs are greater and still unmet, that is denying self. Now, when you receive correction and reproof from someone of less stature and admit that they're right and find no resentment or rebellion in your heart, that is denying self. I read that this week and I thought, I have a long ways to go. I have a long ways to go. It sounds hard because it is hard. It's not impossible. No, no, no. The Word of God says nothing is impossible with Christ Jesus. And it's only as Philippians 2 says, putting on the mind of Christ, that we can deny self. And we can do that in the first place. Because I can walk out these doors and I can try to deny myself all I want. Did you hear what I said? But until I stop and put on the mind of Christ, it's never going to happen. Because he's the one that gives me the ability to do it. And I think we need a reminder in that. And that's part of the reason why we do communion, is to remember that it's about him and what he can provide for us. And the victory that he has. And what he wants to instill in us. And when we face those situations, those people, those circumstances that we otherwise would turn around and run the other way from or bar the door, we can go to God and say, God, I can't do this, but you can. Give me your spirit. Give me that spirit of love. And you know what it makes me think of? It makes me think of Jesus in that upper room. Here he is with his 12 men. And he gets to that one. You know who I'm talking about, right? Judas. Judas, the disciple that sold Jesus out, that was going to betray him. And Jesus has the heart and the love to go to Judas and to accept him around that table, to partake of communion. And we have the audacity sometimes to say, I don't know if that person can take up communion. I've heard it. And yet Jesus says, nope, I am going to love this man until the very end. And I'm going to demonstrate that love to him no matter what. And Jesus got down on his knees and he washed the man who would betray him, and he knew it. And he loved him until the very end. I'll be honest with you, I can't do that. But Jesus can. And communion is about that. It's about saying, God, I want to serve. And I'm going to come across people and situations that's going to be hard to do that. And to do it, we need to put on the mind of Christ. We need to have Christ living in here so that we can go out and show the world by our love that we're his disciples. Amen. And so this morning, as we break for communion, I want you to think about serving one another. Part of the things we do during communion in the Seventh-day Adventist Church is we partake of foot washing. What that means is just outside these doors, there's our fellowship hall, and we have a section for men, a section for women. We also have a section for families. So at this moment, I'm going to have a prayer, and then you are all dismissed to go partake of the foot washing if you so choose to. In about 10 to 12 minutes, we're going to come back in here. We'll sit back down, and then we'll partake of the bread and the wine. So let's bow our heads. Mighty God, I'm so thankful that you love us unconditionally, that you demonstrate your love until the very end, the last possible moment. We see that in the life of Judas. God, as we partake of communion, as we wash one another's feet, may we be reminded that we are here, and we're all of us, Father, are called to serve one another. And we're to serve one another with you in our hearts. So, Father, as we break for this morning, I pray that the Holy Spirit would just be the aroma in this place. Penetrate our hearts and minds. Draw us close to you and give us the ability to do just that. To love unconditionally with your love. Father, I thank you so much. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
How many of you have known somebody personally that has been physically healed from a serious illness and restored to health? I'm going to turn this. How many of you know that person has, since that time, died? The health that the world gives us, the opportunities for healing, are limited to only a few years of life. As I was reading for this and meditating on it, we know the Jesus' words, and some of us may know it very well, where he says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? And then the wise Solomon follows this up by saying, all the labors of man is for his mouth, and yet the soul is not satisfied. We can have healing of body. And sometimes healing of mind, but the healing of the soul, the completeness of our person, our being, is not in the hands of man, regardless of the science and the progress that has been made. And then Jesus gets to the very point in John where he says, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead. That physical need only provided temporary health and vitality. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we know in the depths of our being, of our soul, that you have created, that you want to redeem, that the only thing, Father, that will satisfy is the broken bread, the body of Jesus that was given in complete love and sacrifice and self-denial at the cross. And Father, as these words, this promise is echoed 2,000 years later, we ask that we may grow in the faith that you will impart into our hearts a deeper desire to eat of the bread of life, and that this moment will be only the symbol of the reality that we can live as we hold on to your hand. Father, we ask a blessing on this bread, and as we partake, Father, we want to be fed. We want our souls to be fed and nourished for your glory. And Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Please take and eat.
Here is part of the supper that Jesus instituted. We are reminded that he's waiting to partake of this fruit of the vine. He's been waiting for a couple thousand years now. And how many of you enjoy grape juice? Okay, there's a few. Good, good. Apparently Jesus did too. And he's committed to us. So much so that he shed his own blood for us. In Matthew, it says, then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And so if we have Jesus' heart in us, we'll be looking forward to try and hasten that day, as the Bible says, that we can do that. Amen. We can also make it take longer. And some people will say, well, Jesus is going to come when he's going to come. But the Bible says we can hasten that day. And as we pray, as we drink this cup, let's bow our heads. Dear Father, we know that you're longing for us to be with you, not so much just to drink the grape juice, but because you want us with you. And we are so grateful for the sacrifice that you made. As one of the songs says, it was your love that held you there on the cross until it was accomplished. And we are grateful for that sacrifice that you made for us. And we long to be with you in your kingdom and partake of this as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. To Tizzi's going to take to the piano, and we are going to sing a song together, and I mean literally together. So what you're going to do is you're going to file out of the pews, and we're going to form a circle around the sanctuary and hold each other's hands. Let's do that. Go ahead. Fall out. There. There you go. You know, why do we do this? Well, you know, we do this because we're a family. And families stick together. And you know, I think I've said this before, this is the last time we'll ever do this exactly like this at this moment. Did you know that? Till we get to heaven. Thank you, Russ. But it will be. And it's so nice to look around the circle, and all of a sudden as I look, I see faces smile. Erica, there you go. Okay? And God is so good, and he has blessed us so much as a church family, and I'm so glad that we had the opportunity today to share in communion together. And we're going to sing, Bonnie's going to lead out, and the verses I think are going to be up on the screen, correct? Yes, just the first verse. Blessed be the tie that binds. Let's sing in the name of prayer when we're finished.
Blessed be the tie that binds.
Okay, let's do it again. Let's do it again. There we go. Father God, it's so good to know that we're bound together in Christ, that the mission ahead of us is not one that we need to run at solo, but we can collectively as your church, as your sons and daughters, run to it hand in hand, knowing that the gospel will be preached through our lives and actions and words. And Father, as we depart today, may we remember that you are going with us as we leave this place. And Father, as we partake of this this Hope Clinic this weekend, Father, I also pray that we can be your hands and feet. And Father, just bless all of us today, Father. And may we just have an awesome Sabbath with you and each other. In Jesus' name I pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Amen.